We are going to America
with the chance to be history makers.
Steve Clark, what a hero.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army. In downtown Boston. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers get set to appoint Derek McInnes as their new manager, with Danny Rule officially gone to RB Salzburg. Just 2 days to go until Scotland take on Morocco in our second World Cup group match, and Hearts, Hibs and Motherwell learn their European opponents. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Richard Foster and Tony Watt, and it has been all things Scotland over the past couple of weeks, Tony, but big news on the domestic front today as well. Danny Rule is officially gone. We knew it was coming.
Yep.
And Derek McInnes, not yet appointed Rangers manager, but I think we expect that it is going to happen at some point, whether it is today, whether it is in the near future. And big news for Rangers.
Yeah, if you ask me, or anybody in Scottish football, the game at Tynecastle where Hearts beat Rangers just after the split, if Rangers were going to get a couple of £1 million and Derek McInnes is a manager to replace Danny Rule, they would have just laughed at you because it wouldn't sound realistic. Now, that's going to happen. They're going to end up with probably, in my eyes, the better manager that suits the club and a bit of money in the bank. So I think it's all positive for Rangers.
What have you made of it all unfolding, Richard?
Yeah, I think Danny Rowe had done okay, hadn't he? But he'd never really beaten the teams around him. I think when they went into the split, they would have probably been the favourites to win the league, and then they lose the first three games in a row. So there was always question marks over him. But I agree with Tony. I think that they're getting a brilliant manager off the back of a brilliant season with Hearts. You know, let's be honest, probably should have won the league. Things didn't fall for them. But I agree. I don't think Danny Rowe's a bad manager, but I just think Derek McInnes is much more well-versed in Scotland, knows the league far better. He'll be backed, I would imagine. And I can only see it being a positive thing for Rangers.
But the international chat doesn't stop there, Tony. Just 2 days to go. I wonder what sort of place we are at on the emotional roller coaster that it is to be a football fan, because there was obviously the high of the Haiti game, a lot of optimism. Then comes the nerves, people not sure, the doubts. But I think overall it is optimism, and people going into the Morocco game thinking that, you know, Scotland just need a point, just don't need to get beaten heavily. Could make history.
Yeah, I think it's been a positive week. I think the fact that Scotland beat Haiti is huge. It's good for the country as well, getting the first win in the World Cup for years. The only slight negative is we need to go and do a job on Morocco, because the Brazil game won't be easy. Especially over there, Brazil have got some superstars. Morocco's probably the game we target, that if we get a point, we're guaranteed to be through. Now, again, if you go and get beat 1-0 then, and keep it respectable, then there's a good chance to qualify with -2 goal difference as well. So I think all in all, it's positive for Scotland at the moment, and you can ask me Saturday and I'll give you an opinion after that.
How are you rating Scotland's chances of managing to get to a knockout stage of a major tournament for the first time?
Well, I think that, you know, the way it's structured, when you go through in third place, it's never been easier to qualify, but that was the same at the Euros, so we contrived to get that wrong. But brilliant start, horrible to watch. You just with the nerves, the tension. I'd watched the Morocco-Brazil game before it, and you're thinking, you know, Morocco are a decent side. But it's the Scotland way, isn't it? We never really do it easily. We never go and beat Haiti 3-0 or 4-0 and then, you know, nick a point against Morocco and Brazil. I'm fully prepared to have to go into the Brazil game needing something from the game. I just think we will. I think Morocco, you know, will probably get the better of us. And because we're all here, you know, we're all sitting at home thinking, oh, just get a point and that's us guaranteed. But no, that's not the Scotland way. So I'm fully prepared to be back on that emotional roller coaster.
We've got a World Cup game on the background. It's only 6 minutes in. Portugal 1-0 up against the Democratic Republic of Congo. And João Neves has got the goal. I was wondering, we were talking in the office earlier on, having seen Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland, then Lionel Messi get a hat-trick this morning. How desperate is Cristiano Ronaldo going to be to get on the score sheet in this game?
I think he'll be half raging that he's not the guy that scored first, because
I do quite like watching his reactions when someone else scores. There he goes. He has a wee celebration.
Have you seen the thing on Twitter? And it's like when they lose, he posts a picture of his team. But when they win, he posts a picture of just him. And then when they won the league, he done it again. He's a character for sure, isn't he? But no, the World Cup's been brilliant. And hopefully Scotland can go. I'd love to see the last 32 against Mexico and the Azteca, because a lot of people say that that's the stadium to go. Pele's won it there. Maradona's won it there, if I'm correct. And yeah, it would be brilliant to see Scotland playing there in the competitive game.
We always try and find any tenuous Scottish connection that we possibly can. Austin McPhee will be on the Portugal bench. That didn't come from a set piece, that one, did it? Or did it actually?
No, it didn't.
No, just across from open play. But if you're Ronaldo, you will be raging, because João Félix takes it right off his head. I mean, it's a brilliant header from Felix. But yeah, you know, Austin McPhee, very well respected in the game, down at Villa, doing really well, set piece coach. You know, the game is becoming more and more like the NFL in terms of, you know, soon the game's going to be 4 hours long and there's going to be different plays. But, you know, it's a really, really important part of the game. And it's obviously something he does very, very well, because, like I say, you don't get to be a coach in the Premiership in England and at that stage in the World Cup if you're not very good at what you do.
01419511025. Get your calls in. Rangers fans interested to hear from you today, because the official news that Danny Rule has moved to RB Salzburg is opening up the fact that Derek McInnes is going to be the Rangers manager. No official announcement yet from the club. Maybe it'll happen at some point during the show. But you can let us know your thoughts on just how it's all unfolded over the last few days. Do you feel that's a good move? Were you happy to see Danny Rule leave? Would you rather he stayed after getting the backing from Andrew Kavanagh just 5 weeks ago? And how do you feel about Derek McInnes? Is he the man to bring success to Rangers? Of course, plenty of discussion about Scotland and the World Cup. So get your calls in, Scotland fans. Maybe you're over in Boston. You want to head along to the greatest bar in Boston where Gabriel Antoniazzi is, and you can bring you on the show live and you can chat to us as well. And of course, European opponents found out for Hibs, Hearts and Motherwell today. So we'll get onto that a bit later on. So get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Let's start with Paul, who is a Rangers fan in Paisley. Paul, how are you feeling? It's edging closer to being official that Derek McInnes is going to be the Rangers manager. Danny Rule is gone. Is that good news for you?
I agree with, I think it was maybe Tony said that, I think he's maybe a better fit to Rangers than Danny Rule was. I think Danny Rule calmed things down at a difficult time after Russell Martin, but he couldn't get you past the big games. And I've always said for every Rangers manager that the acid test is Celtic, Hearts, Aberdeen, and unfortunately Danny Rowe failed against Martin Neal, who's a legend at Celtic, to be honest with you. He was able to galvanise Celtic at a difficult time, but you can't deny, and I think Tony would agree, it's probably the worst Celtic team in 2 decades. But I've certainly seen it anyway in my lifetime. And I think Derek McInnes coming in, but my point was, I don't know whether the guys agree, I've noticed in social media a few times the late great Walter Smith been interviewed by David Tanner in Sky Sports and Neil McCann's there, and he talks about his pick would be Derek McInnes. But the pertinent point that he makes is, he says it's not about the manager. He said at that point in time Rangers had just sacked, or Warburton had just moved on. He said Rangers don't have the finances now, but he said it's not just about the coach, it's about the quality of player that you buy in. And that rings true, because you think through all the managers we've been through, we haven't been able to buy a great quality of player to win leagues. Celtic have had the Scottish core mixed with great ability. You talk about players like Dembele and the money they've made with good signings. We've not done that, and I think we had a Scottish core when we came back through the ranks with David Templeton, Ian Black and so on, but they weren't great, and that's because they weren't surrounded by great players. And I think with Derek McInnes' character, he knows the club inside out. He came through a real strong period with Rangers success. If he's back to the 49ers and he's able to identify a good Scottish core, and I'm talking about players like, not just Scottish players, but people like Cammy Devlin, who's been in the Scottish League, got a bit of a bite between them. Players like, I would have liked to have seen David Watts back and moved on. But mixed with maybe Chermiti and other kind of form-based players, they might get that kind of mentality. And I think that's key to it. So I don't know what the guys think about that point.
It's something Andrew Kavanagh has been pretty clear about in the last few months. Certainly, he said going into this transfer window, Rangers were going to have a Scottish bias. That if two players were maybe, you know, on a similar standing, they didn't know who to go for, they'd go for the player that was Scottish or maybe had experience of the Scottish Premiership. Derek McInnes certainly has that. Do you see that as something that is key at Rangers or at Celtic for success, is having guys who know what it means to be at the club, have experience of the Scottish Premiership, but also, as Paul says, have them around, you know, other players that maybe don't have that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and that's the key. It doesn't just have to be Scottish players. It's players who understand what it's like to play in Scotland, because a lot of players come to Scotland as a stepping stone and they realise it's far more difficult than they thought. You know, there's not many players, and you know, include all the guys that come up from England, there's not many that absolutely tear it up. You look at probably Mikey Moore gets Young Player of the Year, but he only really had a good second half of the season because it took him that long to adjust to the game. So it's a more difficult game in Scotland than people realise. And having players who know that and having players who understand, and one of the things I've spoken about it before, you know, having worked with Walter, one thing I'll say about Walter is obviously, you know, unlimited knowledge of the game, but he was a brilliant manager. Absolutely fantastic, and he would get the best out of players. So I think that is key, and I think Derek certainly fits that mould. You know, I've worked with Derek for about a year down at Bristol City. Very good manager. And I think you need that. You also need the quality, of course you do. But I just think people who understand that, you know, going away to Tynecastle for Rangers and coming away, even with a point, that's not a good result.
Yeah.
You know, you need to win every single game. You need to win every single week. And it's a really, really difficult mentality to get into. I went to Rangers from Aberdeen, who at that point, big club, had in the previous few seasons had been third, fourth in the league. But there are games at Aberdeen that it's okay to draw. There are games that it's okay to lose as long as you perform well. There's no game that's okay to lose or draw when you're at Rangers or Celtic. And I think that mentality is very, very difficult to find. But if you've got guys who've already been in the Scottish game, they know what that's like, even if they haven't actually been at the club. It does, you know, they start from further forward than possibly these guys coming in, because these guys come in, it's a different culture, it's a different country, sometimes it's a different language. So they're not just adjusting to football, they're adjusting to a different lifestyle. So it's not always a quick fix just to go and sign a guy. Look at Chermiti, £9 million, undoubtedly has quality, but it took him a while to find his feet because, again, the speed of the game, the lifestyle, the fact that Glasgow is a massive goldfish bowl, you can't walk anywhere in the streets without people recognising you. So it's important that they have that core, and I think if you look back at all the successful Rangers and Celtic teams, they've always had that core of either Scottish players or players who know what it's like to play in Scotland.
I think some previous Rangers managers have faced criticism from supporters just for things they've maybe said going into games or coming out of games that maybe have shown that they maybe don't have that full understanding of the Glasgow Goldfish Bowl. There was one earlier on last season where Danny Rule said something about he would have taken a point going into a game, which a lot of Rangers fans weren't happy about at the time. There's certainly no mistaking that Derek McInnes will know what it means going into the Rangers. He knows the dynamic of Scottish football, and he's certainly not going to get caught out in that sense.
Yeah, what you're kind of alluding to is Danny Rowe being naive, and I'd agree with that in terms of Derek McInnes would never come out and say that. Steven Gerrard even wouldn't have come out and said that. He kind of got a siege mentality early doors and got everybody together and went, right, it's us v everybody else, which I think at Celtic or Rangers you need to do. I don't think you can go and, I don't even think if you're top of the league at Celtic or Rangers and 10 points clear, you can't go and draw two games in a row like Fozzie says. It's not allowed. And I don't think Danny Rowe fully understood that. And I think that's why the Rangers fans probably wanted him gone. If you put a poll of Rangers fans there and said, do you want Danny Rowe here or away? Would you replace him with Derek McInnes? I think it would have been resounding, and I think it would have been unanimous. I think he's a very good manager, especially in Scotland. And we all do respect to every team he's worked with. He won't have the money to work with the quality at these teams that he will have at Rangers. He will be backed. He'll need to be backed because that's the way he does it. He goes into clubs and he puts his stamp on it. And I think you'll see a proper team that kind of dies in the hill for Rangers this year. I think Derek McInnes, and it's changing it a wee bit, the subject, but I think Rangers probably don't need a coach as much as they need a manager. And I think Derek McInnes is that kind of presence of a manager. And I think just get the good players on the pitch, give them some sort of style, and they'll win games of football.
Thank you to Paul on the line. He goes into the draw for this because Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be on air from 10 o'clock live from Scotland's Fan Zone at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. Plus, we'll be back again next Wednesday, the 24th of June, for Scotland's final group game against Brazil. So how would you like to be there? Every night this week, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Fan Zone for Wednesday, the 24th. All you have to do is call in the show. If you get on air and you make a point, you're entered into tonight's draw. It opens from 6 o'clock. The likes of Alan Hutton, Michael Short are going to be there alongside some comedians. Plus, your Clyde One Super Scoreboard team are going to be there too. We'll also chuck in £50 for food and drink for every winner. So you can either use that to celebrate. Hopefully it's celebrating and not drowning any sorrows. We'll see. It's over 18s only. All the T's and C's are on our website. So give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Thomas, who is next up. Thomas, how are you feeling about that swap? Danny Rule out, Dennett McInnes in.
Steven Andrew, the thing about Danny Rule going, I don't think he was the right fit for Rangers. But however, I'm wondering if I'm the only Rangers supporter that's totally underwhelmed at Derek McInnes' appointment. And I'll tell you for why. I can't understand the hype around Mr. McInnes because he's managed at various clubs, but he managed Aberdeen at a time when there was no Rangers, no Hibs, no Hearts, no Dundee United in the league at various times. And he was up against, at one point, Ronnie Dalia's Celtic team. At that time, Callum Davidson won more cups than Derek McInnes, and still to this day has won more cups than Derek McInnes with his two Scottish Cup and his League Cup victory. I struggle with his track record in terms of a winning mentality, which I mean, even Stephen Robinson won the League Cup playing Celtic, albeit it was Nancy's team. But before he went to Hearts, if you cast your mind back when he was at Kilmarnock, his coat was in a sugary peg there, and then he went to Hearts. Now, okay, you know, they're saying, oh, Hearts had a great season, but Hearts were up against a rank-rotten Celtic team, with all due respect to them, and a rank-rotten Rangers side.
There's still a big financial gap there to bridge, though, Thomas.
Yeah, I know, but remember, Celtic lost 8 games, you know, and they still didn't hold on. But it's not so much that it's not so much last season at Hearts, it's the preceding seasons, especially at Aberdeen, where at a time when he was basically the only other, Aberdeen were the only other team with any chance of winning, you may say, and he basically won nothing. And again, goes to Kelly, and before he goes to Hearts, he's almost out the door. I just don't get the hype about him.
Yeah, if you look at Derek McInnes's track record, it was always going to be, no matter whether, you know, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs were in the league at the time, overcoming Celtic as Aberdeen manager is always going to be tough. There's a huge financial gap to bridge. I think he had 4 second place finishes in his time as Aberdeen manager, but Thomas just isn't too impressed with the sort of overall CV, the fact that he's only won, you know, one trophy with Aberdeen. Do you see where Thomas is coming from, or do you think that there's enough of a back catalogue there for him to earn the Rangers job?
I can understand the point. I think the point's valid. I think you know, the Rangers, you need to win things, and I get that. But yeah, I think the gulf between even a Ronnie Dyla Celtic and Aberdeen was huge. Financially, it was huge. And just because, even this season, just because Rangers and Celtic have poor seasons, you know, remember where they're starting from. You know, we're talking about Hearts having a magnificent season, and it was still a magnificent season even though they finished second, because, you know, the highest ever points total and all the things that go with it. It's just because they failed at the last hurdle that we were a bit disappointed for them. But I think there's still such a big gap between the Old Firm and everyone else. It's still a huge task. And yeah, there was probably, I think there was one season in particular where you really thought that Aberdeen were going to challenge, and he just couldn't, Derek just couldn't get his team to beat Celtic, whether it was domestically, whether it was in the cups, in the league and the cups, he just couldn't do it. And so I think the point is valid enough, but I do strongly believe that I think he will be a good manager for Rangers. I think he's got all, I think if you look at his experience in the game, and I think when Tony goes back to Danny Rowe talking about getting a point, I think as a coach, as a manager, that's a sensible way to look at it, because you know you need to be pragmatic. But I think it takes someone with a bit more experience to know that you don't say those things. You might think it. You might even say, you know, at halftime in certain games, you're down 2-0 or 2-1. You might go, if we get over here with a point, it's a good point. You would never say that publicly. So I just think he has the experience in the game. He has the experience dealing with the media. I think he'll get respect from the players. He'll work with a coaching staff that he's comfortable with that'll challenge him. And I just think that while I do think that the Thomas's point is valid, I do think Derek McInnes will be a good manager for Rangers.
I get the Kilmarnock thing is a bit more recent, but with Aberdeen, you know, some of that dates back almost 10 years ago, and a lot of that will have been a learning experience for Derek McInnes across that time. Rangers will probably, you know, it'll be more weighted towards his most recent body of work, because that's the manager they are getting right now, and that is him developed up until this point. So they'll be hoping that what he's shown at Hearts over the last year is the type of manager they're getting, and that he can continue to learn and improve and become a better manager.
But even at Aberdeen, he went out and signed your Kenny McLean's from St Mirren on a free transfer. Shinny had to replace boys like Shinny and McLean when they left. Even Niall McGinn's, Johnny Hayes, and he always done it. He always put a respectable team out. And
he replaced his best players every season.
Aye, and he didn't have the money, and they kept getting snatched, and they kept going to better places in terms of for money, financially, whatever. And he still done it. And the Aberdeen teams were good. They were relentless. Nobody's competing with Celtic back then. The money Celtic were spending, the bench at Celtic would have had one player on more than the full starting 11 at Aberdeen. Kelly, again, he took Kelly when they couldn't win the championship. They were struggling. They weren't great. He got them up. He saved them the next year, was it? Against a few good teams as well. The next year, I think he got Europe. And then the old Scottish football, if you get Europe, you end up down the bottom, don't you? That's what happens every year. I think that Kelly had done a great job. And Hearts obviously seen that this year. Anybody that says it's a failure for Hearts this year just hasn't watched football. I don't know how Hearts can get... Was it their record points ever, maybe? Or
I think it was another record for any team outside the Old Firm.
Yeah. So for that to be a failure, okay, Celtic weren't great for eight games, but Celtic still won, what, seven of the last seven or whatever it worked out. So I don't think it's on Derek McInnes how they didn't win the league, but it's definitely on Derek McInnes how well they done last year.
Thank you to Thomas. Before we take a break, I'll tell you about this, because how well do you know your international football? You can take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. We're looking for the best armchair pundits out there to predict how the summer's football is going to unfold. You need to try and put the groups in order, predict who's going to make it through to the knockout stages, and see how you compare with other Scotland fans. So you can enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. There are some bonus prizes for runners-up too. Entries close tomorrow, the 18th of June at 5 o'clock, so make sure to get in there as quickly as you can. You can enter now at Clyde1.com. You can also find it via the Clyde1 Super Scoreboard social channels.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Richard Foster and Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, taking your calls all the way through until 8 o'clock. So maybe it is the Rangers managerial situation that you are interested in. We want to hear from you on that. 0141 951 1025. Danny Rule has officially gone. He is now the RB Salzburg manager. Still no official confirmation on Derek McInnes yet, but you can let us know whether you like the idea of that, whether it is something that you would rather go down a different route with. And of course, we're taking all your calls on Scotland and the World Cup. We're going to cross live to Boston shortly to see what is going on over there. Gabriel can give us the latest, see what the atmosphere is a couple of days out from that Morocco game. But let's go back to the phones first and speak to John, who's a Rangers fan in Maryhill. John, how are you?
Hi, not bad. Thanks for having us on, guys.
No problem at all. Are you happy with the way that this is all working out?
Absolutely bizarre, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting the Rangers manager to leave and everything else that was going on. I thought they've gave him another at least a couple of months into the new season. Bit strange. Something obviously must be going on behind the scenes in the background for this to happen. But regarding Derek McInnes, done great with Hearts. He's done well everywhere he's went. He knows the club inside out. Probably would take that appointment all day long. Hopefully the board can back him. He can spend well. And he's shown to be a good upcoming manager. So in that sense, yeah, he's a good appointment for the club moving forward. don't know what you think yourself.
Yeah, just on Danny Rule, first of all, I think it may be, it obviously would come as a surprise to people because 5 weeks ago, Andrew Kavanagh was on record saying that this is the man that's going to take us forward, gave the full backing. We know that normally that can be a bit of the kiss of death, the dreaded vote of confidence, but normally that's like mid-season when things are going on. Nothing had changed during that period. RB Salzburg come in, doesn't look as if Rangers put up a massive fight to keep a hold of him. If they really thought that he was going to be the man that was going to take Rangers forward, they could have resisted, you would have thought, and it seems as if, I don't know whether, you know, they get that approach, talks then go on and they sort of sound out other managers and think that they can maybe go down a route that they feel could be more beneficial for them.
Yeah, but I think, if was it reported £2 million they're getting from? You know, it's a decent fee for a manager. It doesn't tend to happen. Often managers either leave at the end of their contract or they're sacked, which costs the club money. So you're looking at going, right, well, we can get £2 million for this guy and we can replace him with someone that Tony and I have both talked about being probably a better fit for Rangers at the moment in terms of, you know, all the things we spoke about with Derek McInnes. So it might have been that, you know, there was absolutely no desire from Kavanagh to let Danny Rowe go, but then this opportunity comes along and they go, well, okay, let's hear what you've got to say, what you're prepared to offer, and then therefore it becomes a viable option. I think Rangers were happy with him. I don't think they were trying to get Danny Rowe out. I don't think they were thinking, right, you know, because realistically, let's be honest, next season if Danny Rowe didn't win the league, they're probably looking at having to sack him, which is going to cost them money. So it's I think it's probably just came at the perfect moment for Rangers to recoup a lot of money and then get a manager who has far more experience in the league and is off the back of his best ever domestic season.
From an optics perspective, it's probably lower risk for Rangers because Danny Rule's stock is probably as low as it had been in his whole tenure of the 8 months, because up in pre-split, a lot of Rangers fans were happy with how it was going. He dragged them back into the title race, looked as if they might well put on a title charge post-split. Then after that, I think a lot of supporters lost faith in the fact that they lost four of their five post-split fixtures, to then replace him with someone that seems generally quite a popular choice. It seems like a relatively low-risk move.
For me, if you go back to the style of play, it's a low risk because they're very similar in terms that they'll keep the shop shut at the back. McInnes probably got a wee bit more fight in his team, I get that, but Danny Rowe had better players. But when you go back to Rowe's best time, I remember watching the Aberdeen game, I think they won 2-0 or 3-0 and it was all set pieces. I think the new boy had just been brought in set pieces, but they never really created anything. And you go to Ibrox, I've been there many a time, we've been there together with St Johnstone, and you go 4-0 down or 5-0 down at the end of the game and you're going, Jesus, they're a very good side. You've got Steve Davis pinging 50-yard passes and then you've got Morelos ragdolling people. Tavernier putting a free kick in the stands. Last year you didn't really see that. You seen like the big boy at the back, Fernandez, would score a few headers and there was no style of play. They didn't cut you open. Teams went and thought at Ibrox, do you know what, we'll probably get a result here or we'll at least keep them to a draw. Like Fozzie said about that was a good draw. There wasn't anything like Ibrox wasn't, and Celtic Park wasn't either. Ibrox wasn't a place you'd go and fear last year, but Tynecastle probably was, and they're taking the manager relatively cheap. I think it's a six-figure fee. They're taking the manager as the most well set up team in the country, probably. Don't get me wrong, Celtic probably at the end of the season became that, but over the course, Hearts were probably one of the best teams in terms of from the back defensively. And I know their style of play isn't going to be fluid possession football, but I don't think Rangers need that. I think Rangers need to be getting better players like your Chimitis. Go and sell them on, make money and just continue that, because for the last 15 years, Rangers probably haven't been in that model. I think you can sacrifice a possession style football to play an expansive, an exciting, a very solid style of football, but improve players, sell them on and make the club a lot of money.
What is top of the entry for him, John? What does he need to do first to try and get Rangers back to challenging for league titles, winning domestic trophies?
I think he's got to drill the Rangers mentality we've had for many, many years. But just touching on what Tony said there, you've got to bear in mind, Tony, a lot of Rangers players basically were going out there and kind of flung Danny Rowe under the bus. Rangers players were going out there no playing for the jersey. Rangers players were going out there and hiding. That's what's got us beat for the league when we done the split. nothing to do with the, really the manager, in my opinion.
I suppose you can maybe spin that two ways, John, because you wonder if, you know, does potentially a better manager get more out of the players, or is it down to the players not playing for the manager? You can never really tell from the outside, can you, Richard?
No, you can't. And I've been in situations more so, thankfully, where you've, you know, you'd run through a brick wall for your manager. But I think sometimes as players, if you're being criticised because you're the one on the pitch, you're the one having to take the ball, and you're being criticised, and you're not getting the backing from your manager, at points you start going, well, why am I doing this? Like, I'm the one that's out there. I'm the one that's having to deal with everything that's going on. I'm the one who's showing for the ball and there's no options. I'm the one who's making runs and I'm trying my best, and then, you know, I'm trying to do the things that the manager's asking me to do, and then the manager's not kind of giving me his backing, or he's not giving the team his backing. You then start to go as a player and you become selfish, and you know, all players are selfish, and it's like they go, well, they won't, they've, I don't ever, I don't know if there's ever a team who's sacked 25 players but they'll always sack a manager. And I'm not saying that's right, but clearly there was something, whether it wasn't the right message, or whether the players didn't take the message on board. But in those big games, now it could have just been nerves. It could have just been Rangers now all of a sudden from being nowhere come back into the title race. And like I said, going into the split, you're going, they're probably favourites here. It might have just been nerves. I think it looked to me like it was a bit more than that. It looked like Danny Rowe just didn't have that, you know, the little bit of magic just to make his players feel that they were on the verge of something special. Because if Rangers had come back and won that league, that would have been that would have been a hell of a season. And I just think he was lacking that. Now, whether that's, like I say, the nerves of the players, they weren't good enough, or whether it was the message from the manager, but I just think something wasn't right there. And I think McInnes is better set up to get a bit more out of these guys.
I totally agree with Fozzie. I think it could also be the characters, but I don't think McInnes allows for weak characters. No. I don't think he would. He's been through a school, and you'll know me with your Walter Smiths, where they won't sign weak players, or they won't. They might sign them, but they won't last. And I think at Rangers, too many weak-minded players have lasted. And I know I always go back to it, and I say it with a disclaimer. I'd have probably done something stupid when I was younger, but see, when Dujon Sterling puts up the picture, things you can control, whatever, after the Nancy thing, and you go, right, okay, do that when you've won the league. But you're doing it after, how many trophies have you won at Rangers? I'd go out and I guess and say he's won one, maybe none. You cannot do that at Rangers. But I think Rangers has got too much of that. And if you go back to, I don't know, I'm just off the top of my head, if I went in there and James Forrest, for instance, a guy, Scott Brown's and all that in the changing room, but James Forrest, probably one of the quieter ones, he would look at me and go, what are you posting that for? Like, and it's not because it's not because he's been taught it or whatever, it's because he knows what Celtic's all about. It's not, you can't do things like that. And I think McInnes would probably pull him in and go, oh, wee man, don't post that. Don't, that's stupidity. We've won nothing. Keep your head under the water now. Keep your head quiet. Just get yourself to a level where we're winning things. And then, you know what? Post whatever you want. Yeah. But at that moment, I think there's too many people in that Rangers squad that get let away with murder. And I don't necessarily think it's Danny Rowe's fault, but he never stopped it. And what Derek McInnes will do, I'm 100% certain of, he'll stop that.
Thank you to John. We're going to speak to George in Knightswood after the break. Keep your calls coming on 141 951 1025, and you can do that while I tell you this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. Yeah, we're marching towards another £750,000 this Friday on Make Me a Winner. Dawn won last week and she says she's still pinching herself.
Oh my goodness, this is just unbelievable. Thank you so much, brilliant.
Now you can join our winning team. Get in the draw for your chance to be the next winner and bag £750,000 this Friday. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules for this network competition are there too. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. And if you get the call and answer it, £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Richard Foster and Tony Watt taking your calls on the Rangers managerial situation has been dominating things so far. Of course, we will turn our attentions to Scotland and the World Cup shortly. But let's stick with that story today. Of course, Danny Rule is officially away. He's joined RB Salzburg. Derek McInnes is going to be the next Rangers manager. No official confirmation from Rangers yet. Let's speak to George, who is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. George, how are you feeling about it? Are you happy? Well, happy that McInnes is coming in?
Not happy at all. No, I think he's a decent manager, but I think it's another panic buy. He's always a bridesmaid. What's he? He's another Danny Rowe. He's never really won anything.
That is something that always comes up when it comes to managers, especially when it's, you know, managers going to Celtic or Rangers. Tony, you know, what's their winning record like? Do they know what it means to win? Do they have that winning mentality? Can you see why some supporters may be concerned at the fact that he's not won trophies, or just the jobs that he's been in haven't really lended themselves, you know, to winning trophies?
He won the League Cup, did he not, with Aberdeen? Yeah. He's won a trophy.
But I suppose there was maybe that criticism that, you know, being there for so long and that Aberdeen side, Rangers were, you know, not at the top of their game at the time. Hibs and Hearts weren't for a while. That he only won one League Cup in that whole spell and nothing else. Should he have won more?
I'm no the financial guy at Aberdeen, but I know for a fact Celtic would have had players on 10 times the money Aberdeen had. It's not easy to win things with Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs, and you see how little times they've won it. I know St Johnstone won 2 in 1 year. That's a freak. That won't happen again in my lifetime, I don't think. Might be wrong, but I think McInnes is the best option out there for them. Don't get me wrong, they could go up further afield and get somebody we don't know, but I mean, if Askew didn't go to Toulouse so quick, I think he would maybe have been the better one. Don't get me wrong, I still think McInnes suits Rangers more, but in terms of for fans, appeasing fans and just keeping people happy, he would have probably been the alternative option. But I think McInnes is the right option. I think whenever I heard the news of Danny Rowe, I thought, I'd go and get McInnes. I just think that it's a match made in heaven, and I think he could be there for many years as well. I think he'll settle there, and I think he'll do well.
How important do you feel that track record is, that back catalogue of winning trophies, if you're going into a big job where you're then expected to do so?
But again, I think you made the point, it's quite pertinent. What job, bar the Aberdeen one, but what job should he have been winning things? You know, it's easy to say that he's not really been in a position to go and win loads of trophies. You look at, so Aberdeen won the Scottish Cup just there for the first time in however long. Hibs won it, obviously, a few years ago now, but for the first time in however long. These things don't happen to the smaller clubs. And I say smaller, you know, in inverted commas there, because I'm not saying that Aberdeen and Hibs are small clubs, but comparative to the Rangers and Celtic, they are. So it doesn't happen that often. So it's not like he's been on the precipice of winning lots of things and failed. I don't think he's been in the position yet, and I think Rangers will be the first time where there's an expectation on him to actually go and win things. And then it remains to be seen how he copes with that pressure. I felt that a lesser manager last season, Hearts would have fallen away. I think they were written off early in the season. Oh, it'll be done by March, and there'll be, you know, all different people said different things, and they stayed the course right up until the end. And obviously there was a lot of other things that didn't go in their favour. But I just think that he's now at a club where there is expectation, and we will see what he's got and what he can galvanise in his players. But also, remember, there's not long till they come back for pre-season. So I know, you know, if Rangers had taken 2 months over this appointment, there'd have been issues with that. Now they've done it pretty quickly, which I think they had to do because the players will be coming back soon, and you're wanting to start to build the squad and get to know your squad, and they get to know him. So I think the appointment needed to be made quickly, and I think, Tony, you made the point earlier, this was the best option, I think, at this moment. And it remains to be seen whether he's going to be successful. I think he will. I hope he will. I hope he will be. But I think now this is probably the biggest test he's had in terms of the expectation on him. But who else could Rangers have got that is a more sure thing than Derek McInnes? Because there's who's out there? Because anyone else out there is not in Scottish football. So there's always that element of the unknown.
Did you have a candidate in mind, George, that you would have rather seen at Ibrox?
Well, I think we've let better go, Van Bronckhorst. I think he was let him go too soon.
I always think that the problem is people will say that in hindsight, won't they? But as soon as you are an old firm manager, and I can't remember exactly what it was, I think at the start of that season, Rangers were maybe 9 points behind Celtic in around October. I know that had been compounded with the fact that Rangers were in the Champions League group stage and had been hammered by some very good teams in Liverpool and Ajax. But, you know, so at the time, people maybe felt that was the right decision. And pressure just mounts on managers so quickly, despite the fact that he'd been in a European final a few months earlier.
Yeah, I think people need to be realistic as well, going back. Rangers fans were wanting Gio gone. I know, was that when Michael Beale was sniffing about? And I think he was kind of...
Like he actually turned up to a game towards the end of Van Bronckhorst.
I don't think it was handled the best way. And I think that's probably where Rangers fans look back in hindsight and go, oh, we trusted Michael Beale and not Gio. He's maybe hard done by. However, I do feel like there's a big gap in these European competitions and you can't be judged in the Champions League, because then domestic's a big thing. And I think the fact that Celtic and Rangers probably haven't been in the Champions League the last few years should have helped. I know it's not, but it should have helped domestically. However, I think McInnes will go, even in Europe, I think he'll go and, if it's Europa League, whatever it is, I think he'll go and do all right as well there, because he has got the experience as a player and he knows what Rangers are all about. And I know we keep saying that, but sometimes Rangers won't need a guy to go and teach them how to play possession. When you're spending that much money on players, they'll sign good players, he'll get them motivated, he'll be a good man manager, and he'll get them at their best ability, confident, firing, and I think that's what Rangers need more than now.
Well, thank you to George. Let's cross live to Boston for the first time tonight, shall we? Because Gabriel Antoniazzi is pitched up on that mezzanine in the greatest bar in Boston. He can tell us exactly what's been going on over the last 24 hours since we spoke to him.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrew, and everyone back home. We're getting closer to that huge match against Morocco on Friday. It's a little bit quieter today in terms of the Tartan Army. I don't know if that's because there was a few big nights last night and people are now saving themselves for the end of the week, or if it's the fact that England are playing. They're playing at 4 o'clock here local time. I don't know if you can see behind me, England fans are in here and they've got their flags up. So England are actually playing in Boston. Their second game against Ghana will be here. So once Scotland depart and head to Miami, England will essentially take over this city. So it'll be an interesting comparison. See what the locals think, the Scots versus the English. They've taken us on so well, of course, here in New England. But yeah, as I said, not as many Scots around this morning. Are a lot of Moroccans around mulling about? I think they can certainly say there's going to be more Moroccans in the stadium on Friday night than there were Haitians for our opening game. So perhaps closer to a 50-50 split, Andrew. Spoke to quite a few Moroccans yesterday, just interviewing them, getting their thoughts. And they're very confident. People tell me with a straight face that Morocco are expected to get to the semi-final. Back home, they're expected to equal what they did 4 years ago in Qatar. Of course, they got to the final of AFCON that ended in farcical situation when they lost to Senegal. They're a top team. Some of them saying they genuinely believe they can win this World Cup. And all of them saying they expect to beat Scotland. Now, they're very polite, saying that they were loving the fans, loving all the content. They love our team. But they're confident their side will sweep Scotland come Friday night. And just a bit on the Scotland camp, Andrew. Down in Charlotte, they trained this morning. Scott McKenna didn't take part. Now, keep in mind that yesterday was his first training session back. It was always planned that he wasn't going to train with the group again today. So I think it's a bit precautionary. Wouldn't expect McKenna to start. Certainly not to start. Perhaps he won't be involved against Morocco on Friday. I think that McKenna himself will be looking more towards Brazil. Perhaps a back five might come into play, an extra slot for a defender. But I'd expect the same back four against Morocco, Andrew, if Clark does stick with a back four, as we expect him to. And the team will be flying back up to Boston in about 90 minutes' time. I think they are scheduled to depart. They'll get to their hotel in the Back Bay area of the city where they stayed a few days ago. We'll have an open training session at the New England Revolution Training Ground at 10 a.m. local time tomorrow. I'll be there. It's open to the media for the first 15 minutes. We'll see who's involved. And then it's, of course, match day minus one. And we'll have all the pre-match media duties at the stadium with Steve Clark.
Thank you to Gabriel. We'll go back to Boston a bit later if he can find himself a Scotland fan. And amongst all those England fans, maybe he can hang a saltire on that balcony behind him as well, just for the viewing purposes of the live stream. Right, 01419511025, the number to call if you want to get involved in Scotland chat, Rangers chat, anything else on your mind, and it's the number for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We already had a Beat the Pundit debut this week. Greg Taylor, it was 5-5 on his Beat the Pundit debut and he lost on a tiebreaker to a guy that phoned in that he went to school with. So we'll see, is it going to be Tony Watt or is it going to be a Beat the Pundit debut for Richard Foster? Get your call in now, 0141 951 1025. Do that before 7.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
One more hour to go of your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, so keep them coming, 0141 951 1025. We've been discussing the Rangers managerial situation. Danny Rule officially gone, he's away to RB Salzburg. No confirmation yet that Dennett McInnes will be coming in, but Rangers fans, what do you make of it? Are you happy with the way it's all worked out? Do you hope that it'd gone in a different direction? Would you rather kept Danny Rule? You can let us know. A few other domestic stories going on. And then on top of that, of course, Scotland at the World Cup. We'll go back to Boston and speak to Gabriel and you can get your calls in. And we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Having never played Beat the Pundit before, Richard, you were hoping it was just general knowledge questions rather than
absolutely
Scottish football questions.
For someone who's been, I think it was over 22 years, about 23, 24 years in the Scottish game, my football trivia is not great.
If you were on Mastermind, what would your specialist subject be?
See, I've said this before on air, and then all you get is people sending in really, really obscure. So it would probably be Friends, the TV show.
Okay.
But then people send in really, really, you know, like who directed the fifth episode in season two and all that kind of thing. And you kind of go, well, I've not done my research.
I don't think you're in luck tonight. I don't see any questions about Friends.
Your wife was still game, wasn't it?
My wife's still game. I think she was nine questions she got right and still game. 9 and 9.
I remember
that. It's pretty good going.
But she's really quite smart.
Right, we'll see if you can match that or get anywhere close to it and Beat the Pundit. If it is going to be you, it is going to be William up next in Salou. Am I right, William?
Yeah, I'm in Salou just now, Andrew.
Oh, you're away on holiday?
Yeah, me and the wife-to-be, first holiday, so thought we'd treat ourselves.
Love that. I mean, how's she feeling about the fact that you're just ignoring her to play Beat the Pundit?
It's good because she's a bit of a bar to get a drink, so it's all right.
Oh, perfect comment. Is this the perfect time for your, you know, it's the in-between period, you've been at the pool all day, you're sitting on the balcony, packet of crisps, ready to get out for tonight?
So we went to Barcelona today, done a tour in the Nou Camp, and then we went on the cable cars, so it's been brilliant. We're not that long back, to be honest.
Lovely. I'm feeling jealous just listening to William. So we're going to just stop that chat now. Nice. Because what have you done today, Tony? Has it been as exciting as that?
I went to Glasgow University to do a VO2 max test this morning with a contraption in my mouth with my nose blocked up, and I ran in the treadmill for I don't know how many minutes, and I hated every second of it.
By the way, don't listen to that. That's just him getting his excuse in early, William, if he's playing Beat the Pundit, that he's had a tough day.
Because I've seen him running at Partick Thistle, he was hopeless.
You're not wrong.
Right, it is going to be the blue side of the coin for Tony Watt, the red side for Richard Foster. And Richard gets off with it. It's the blue side of the coin for Tony Watt. And William's just added a bit of edge to it by having a go at
best
you.
Here.
For
we'll see who's laughing after.
I used to go up to the Partick Thistle Charity Trust, so I'm quite well aware of that as well, the Partick Thistle.
Well, there we go. Right, we'll put something else in the ear of Tony Watt so he cannot tear us. And for you, William, it's going to be 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Let's go for it. Danny Rule coached under Hansi Flick at which German club?
Bayern Munich.
How many Celtic players are in Scotland's World Cup squad?
One.
Which former St Mirren player is now their goalkeeper coach?
Jamie Langfield.
Apart from Hampden, name the last Scottish venue to host a national team game.
Celtic Park.
Barney Stewart's new club, West Brom, play in which English league?
Championship.
Who are higher in the FIFA men's rankings, Bolivia or Haiti?
Haiti.
Which Scotland player scored an own goal against Brazil in 1998?
Tom Boyd.
Right, we will bring Tony Watt back in. What? Are you enjoying that music?
Song, we love the boogie.
What's going on with this show? Because we had Gabriel singing last night live from Boston when he was telling us about going out to karaoke, and now you are
having
a go as well.
That was an absolute tune there, by the way.
That's got me fired right up.
Yeah.
I hope he get a zero.
You in the mood? Right, we'll see how Tony can get on. Same 30 seconds for you, Tony. Let's go. Danny Rühl coached under Hansi Flick at which German club?
Bayern Munich.
How many Celtic players are in Scotland's World Cup squad?
Two.
Which former St Mirren player is now their goalkeeping coach?
Jimmy Langfield.
Apart from Hampden, name the last Scottish venue to host a national team game.
Murrayfield.
Barney Stewart's new club, West Brom, play in which English league?
Championship.
Who are higher in the FIFA men's rankings, Bolivia or Haiti?
Bolivia.
Which Scotland player scored an own goal against Brazil in 1998?
Pass.
How do you think it went, William?
I think it's close.
I think it was close.
I think I'd maybe go one more.
Well,
was he flying?
How do you think you got on? All right?
Done all right.
Right, we'll go through them, shall we? Danny Rühl coached under Hansi Flick at which German club? The answer is Bayern Munich. You both got it. One all to kick things off. How many Celtic players are in the Scotland's World Cup squad? William went for one. Tony went for two.
Ralston and Tierney.
Correct. It is 2-1 to Tony. Which former St Mirren player is now their goalkeeping coach? Good shout from both of you, because it is Jamie Langfield. 3-2 to Tony. Apart from Hampden, name the last Scottish venue to host a national team game. William went for Celtic Park. You went for Murrayfield. Do you know this one?
Nope.
Pittodrie. 1-0 loss to the Netherlands. Was that the game that Malky Mackay was in charge? Is that right?
I think Jason Cummins maybe made his debut that game.
Mm-hmm. So neither of you got it. So it is still 3-2 to Tony Watt. Barney Stewart's new club, West Brom, play in which English league? You both said the English Championship, which is correct. So it's 4-3 to Tony Watt.
By the way, good return.
Who are higher in the FIFA men's rankings, Bolivia or Haiti? So Haiti are 85th in the rankings. That's what William said. You went for Bolivia, who are 77th. So Tony goes 5-3 up.
What was that about hopeless, fella?
I'm in holiday.
He's drunk at the moment.
There was one more question. Which Scotland player scored an own goal against Brazil in 1998?
I'm surprised Tony never got that.
Yeah, William did get
that's
it.
Before my time.
Tom Boyd is the answer. So it goes 5-4, but it is a win for Tony Watt. Unlucky, yeah, William.
Hope you're watching, William.
Mate, I'm busy watching the Portugal game. They're now having a few beers and going to watch England
good
game.
Enjoy, mate.
Yeah, it's not a bad life. William, in terms of football, what's been occupying your mind? Is it domestic stuff? Is it Scotland?
So, I don't really support Scotland, but obviously I want to see them doing well. My side of things is more Rangers, so obviously I'm happy with McInnes if he comes in, and I think he'll go get Braga for Hearts as well.
Ooh, interesting shout. I mean, Lauren Shankland is already there. Could you see Rangers going for Claudio Braga? What type of price would it take to get Claudio Braga? I think it's another question. And Rangers already have quite a few striking options now.
If you're dealing with Hearts 2 years ago without Jamestown, which I know everybody talks about, but he's going to go for a pretty penny, and it's a price tag. Then does he become worth it? I think he would be, because they're spending £9 million on players already. But if you can get him for 3 or 4 million, which might not be possible, yes, he's a no-brainer. But if then you're talking 7, 8, 9 million, then that's the question mark for me.
Could you see McInnes going back for any other Hearts players? I know some people will say Cammy Devlin. He's out of contract. There's talk of MLS clubs being interested and interest elsewhere. People think that he probably might go down the domestic route and sign players from Scotland. So would it surprise you to see him go and try and get players from Hearts?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I think, you know, and I don't know his contract situation, but someone like Stuart Finlay, I think he's, you know, in terms of Rangers, probably going to be on the front foot playing the halfway line. He's quick, he's aggressive, he's good on the ball. Been really impressed with him. Harry Milne, thought he'd been an excellent signing for Hearts, yeah. And you know, was doing well, and then now he's even better, I think. But the one for me, and I'm not his agent, but Tuan Damasmanise, I think I can't see why a Rangers and Celtic or even a Hearts now wouldn't look at him. Magnificent season. You know, I think Elijah Just had a brilliant season as well, but JT he's got that. He can win games out of nothing. He scored a brilliant goal against Rangers where he chopped Tavernier and scored the goal. It was fantastic ability, and he can score goals out of nothing. And I think he would be one that, if I was, you know, and Motherwell fans will hate me for that, but if I was Derek McKinnon's going to Rangers, I'd definitely be looking at Tuan Damasmanise.
Do you play with Tuan Damasmanise for a season? I suppose the season you were there, I think he maybe scored six goals and then exploded into life the next year.
I remember his debut, I think it was Kelly in the Cup, and he came on and everybody was just passing about him. I say that all the time, and he's definitely got a lot of quality. I think he'll go abroad for some reason. I think he'll probably get priced out of a move here. I would have liked the Calvin Miller one. I just think he'll probably start most of the games at Hearts, but even for Rangers, like, to fill the Scottish quota, even if he starts half the games and comes on the rest of them, he's electric, he's got quality. I think signings like that just fill the building with people that know what the club's all about. I know he's been at Celtic, so that's maybe a bit of a stumbling block, but Cammy Devon wouldn't be a bad one for me. I think he knows the league, like Fudgy said. You talk about Scottish players, but what we mean, and you obviously emphasised it, is people that know the league up here, they don't need to be Scottish, but what they need is an understanding of how fast the game is, how relentless it is, and what it takes to play for Celtic and Rangers. You don't need to have played for Celtic and Rangers to see how big the club is and see what you need to do to be there. And I think boys like that will know what it's all about. And Hearts is probably the second best thing in terms of pressure in Scotland in the Old Firm.
Thank you to William, who was calling in from Salou. And I tell you what, the glamour doesn't stop, because it's Brendan up next. And I'm told that you were slightly delayed in getting on because you were getting out the shower. Is that right, Brendan?
Nice.
That is almost certainly correct, boys. Good evening, how are you?
Not too bad.
Hope you've got a towel on, Brendan.
Well, I've got me on my towel, and don't worry about it. I can't believe I'm saying that to Tony Watt, but there you go. I've got 2 points, boys, if I can put them across to you, please.
Go for it.
I'm a lifelong St Mirren fan, and I'll leave my point about that till the end of my first point, which is with the Scotland team. I think so far, I think we've been nothing short of absolutely tremendous. But I firmly believe that, I think, after watching the Brazil-Morocco game the other night and how Morocco played against Brazil, I think we'll need to turn up on Friday night and play the way we played against Denmark to get a result for that team. Because I think when they played against Brazil the other night, I thought they were really strong, skillful, and a great football playing team against probably one of the best in the world, you know. But I think that if we don't play the way we play against Denmark, I think we could be in trouble. I don't want to think that. I'm a wee bit of a realist more than anything else. But that's just my thoughts on it. But my second point...
I'll take that, Brendan, and I'll let you come back in, because I think anyone that watched the Morocco-Brazil game would have seen the quality of the Morocco team. They got to the AFCON final. We know what happened at the end of that. They ended up being given the win in the end, just with everything that went on. But Gabriel, speaking to us from Boston, he's been speaking to Morocco fans who are saying, you know, they're expecting them to get to the semi-finals. They are a really, really decent side. So, you know, as much as Scotland got the win in the last game, there is going to be a big... You know, Scotland need a big jump in performance to make sure that they can try and get something out of that Morocco game, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the nerves, you've got to appreciate, you know, a lot of these guys, all these guys going to their first World Cup, not their first big tournament, but their first World Cup. But because there was so much put on the Haiti game, it's like, this is the game that you're going to win. This is where you can get your 3 points. You know, the level of tension going into that game would have been massive. Now, no one expects us to beat out with, you know, Scottish people and people back home. No one expects us to do anything against Morocco, because they're such a good team, because they're so high in the world rankings. The, you know, semi-finals, like last World Cup, handed the AFCON on a silver platter. But so no one expects anything. So, and I think that's when Scotland are better. Scotland under Steve Clarke are better when there's no expectation on them. And I think there was so much riding in that game against Haiti. Now, we never played well at all, and if we do put in that same performance, I don't think we can hold out. I think Morocco are far better than Haiti, and they will score. They'll break us down far easier. But I don't think it will be that performance. I think it will be akin to the Denmark game. I think there will be, you know, there'll be a bit more belief in the squad. There'll be a bit more, the players will be a bit more relaxed, because they've done, you know, what they set out. The objective in the first game is win that game, because it's the winnable game in the group. And I just think we will be more relaxed now that we're in the second game into the tournament. I don't see us being as passive as we were at times against Haiti, against Morocco. And I think we all agree that if we are, then we are in big trouble. But I just don't see that happen.
And you look across the tournament, Tony, there have been plenty of shocks so far. Scotland are going in as underdogs. We're watching Portugal against Congo here, and there are, 53.5 minutes on the clock, and it's 1-1 between them. We saw Cape Verde get a point against Spain.
Congo have had the better chances. For me, going back to Fozzie's point, elaborating on it, I think he's totally right. Scotland against Haiti, I'd be more comfortable going into Scotland v Brazil or Morocco in terms of Scotland are expected to batter Haiti, and I just don't see them doing that. I don't see them going 2-3-0, whereas I'd be more comfortable expecting a draw against Morocco or Brazil because of the way they set up, and we're probably not the team, and that you saying that probably clicked in my head, they're probably not the team that are expected to go out and beat a team 2-3-4-0 comfortably. Don't get me wrong, the Bolivia game was great, but that gave us false hope because that's the first time in I don't know how many years me watching Scotland thinking, by the way, we are a side here, and Scotland are probably better backs against the wall, and oh
there's a goal for Portugal. Offside. They're 2-1 up, it's offside. There's an overhead kick there from Joao Cancelo.
But going back to that, I think he's totally right that you wouldn't put it past Scotland to go up with a masterclass and defending their box, and at times they defended a box against Haiti and they probably look better at doing that than dominating a game. Now, the thing for me is that there's two games to go and get a point. Just there's a chance to do it with the story around the Tartan Army, how good they've been, everybody buzzing about them in New York, like in Boston, everywhere, like people are raving about them. So I think there's a chance to go and do it. However, I just hope they don't look back at this Haiti game and think, I wish we'd won it 2-0 or 3-0. That would hurt a lot.
What was your other point you wanted to make, Brendan?
Yeah, thanks for letting me stay on, lads. The other point is obviously about my team, Simon. Obviously, it was a major blow losing Robinson towards the end of last season, and they brought in Craig McLeish. Now, I'm not here to belittle the guy by any stretch of the imagination, because at the end of the day, we stayed up. And for me, that was the most important thing. But I don't mind saying it. The Partick Thistle game in the Smicer Stadium, my rear end was making buttons the last 15 minutes of that game. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I don't want to have to go through that again. But I honestly believe Craig McLeish under Robinson, he's obviously learned a part of his trade, but I'm sorry, he's not the man for me to take us forward. I don't, because he stepped in when Robinson left, he basically filled a gap in because we wanted to try and go to the end of the season. We were in another cup final, unfortunately we lost it. But don't get me wrong, what the boys achieved before Christmas was remarkable. As far as McLeish is concerned, in my view, it is my opinion, and life's all about opinions, I just don't think he's the guy who sit in the hot seat and keep us going forward next season. If he stays with us the whole season, I think we're going to be in big trouble.
I suppose one thing that St Mirren fans would hope for is that Craig McLeish went in and he had a squad that was tailored towards Stephen Robinson's style of football, which appears to be very different from what Craig McLeish is planning on doing. So there would probably need to be a big overhaul in the squad this summer to then change the style of play. But then you'll maybe get a true reflection of what Craig McLeish is capable of doing, you know, going into next season. Whether that's going to be good or bad, we don't know. But I think he'll probably want to be judged on what happens going forward rather than him going in and kind of firefighting towards the end of last season.
Yeah, but I think this... You know, we don't have long enough on the show to discuss what I'm going to say here, but and I'm, you know, a coach, and you have an idealistic view of what you want the game to be and how you want to play and all the patterns you're going to play. But I think we've gone away from football is about the players. So he goes in. So why? Now, I know it wasn't working as such the way it had previously, because Stephen Robinson's consistently been in top six and they'd dropped out of that. They'd won the cup. Work with the group of players that you've got and coach the group of players that you've got and the style that that gets the best out of them. You know, you wouldn't put on your 3'5" striker who's rapid, who scores 15 goals a season. You wouldn't put him on in the last 5 minutes to go and defend your box. So know what your players are and know what they're good at and try and get the best out of them. Now, it's difficult because Craig's came from a youth background where you can start to try and implement a style of play. And I would imagine he's learned a lot in that short period of time, i.e. I might have an idea of how I want to play, but you know, you look at even the best manager in the world and sometimes it takes them a while to get there. So it's how does he then adjust his style of play to the players that, one, that you can sign at St Mirren, because you've got a limit to who you can sign, and two, the players that he's going to be left that are still under contract. And it's about trying to play a way that gets the best out of those players. And I think Stephen Robinson was an expert at that. He always got the best out of the players. And he played a style of football that I enjoyed, because he put the ball forward and he played in the other team's half. Yeah. They didn't often take unnecessary risks. Now, I know people will come back at you and go, look at Jens Bertolasco at Motherwell, but Motherwell signed good players and signed players who could do that. That was his style. That's what they came in. And they also allowed for mistakes to happen. Now, whether Craig gets that time at St Mirren, but I just think coaching now is, we're all about the coach and how, what is his style? No, this is how I play. No. Look at the players you've got and coach them and play in a way that suits them. So if that's a 3-5-2, a 4-3-3, a 4-2-3-1, whatever it is, find a way that suits the players that you've got. And I would be shocked if Craig never learned a lot about that period, because as a youth coach myself, at times you do have this fanciful idea of what the game can be, and you play all these patterns, and then you think, but you know, is that realistic? It is with kids, because you're actually teaching them to develop them as players technically. But when you step into that real world of the first team football, you need to win games. Sometimes you need to go, you know what? Why don't I just be a good coach and coach the players I've got to do the things that they're best at, not what I think they're best at, but what they're actually best at.
Thank you to Brendan. Keep your calls coming, 01419511025.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Richard Foster and Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get your calls in. And if you're watching on the live stream, you'll see that we have been joined by a guest comedian, Chris Forbes, known for Scott Squad, known as the other Murray, the third Murray brother.
Oh, yes.
You've got all sorts going on. And you're going to be at the same venue as us for the Scotland matches over the next week. And you're looking forward to it. Scotland's official fan zone at Brayhead Arena.
Can't wait for it. Yeah, there's all sorts going on, obviously, as well. Music, I mean, DJs, live bands, there's podcasts, there's guests, there's yourselves, you know, there's obviously football pundits. And it's going to be a great night. A very unique place to watch it, I think, as well. People think of watch parties, big screen somewhere and everyone in the one zone. But Brayhead Arena, I don't know if anyone's ever been down for the ice hockey games. It's such a great experience. And the big difference is, because it's quite Americanized, which is quite a nice theme for obviously this World Cup, there's mega light shows, there's the big flames that go off when people score goals. So all that's going to be in play for the watch party as well. So anytime even Scotland get the first corner, first throw in, first free kick, they're going to just set everything off. It's going to be a big party.
Speaking of American sports, am I right in saying that you got a basketball scholarship, is that right?
I wish it was a scholarship. It was that impressive, but I did get to go and play American in American high school. My last year of high school, I did over in America playing basketball.
Nice.
Which was great. You kind of have to go over there to play. Like many sports, sometimes you have to leave. We're in a very football type nation. A lot of people wouldn't even touch a basketball in this country because it's orange. So I mean, there's a big disparity between the popularity of sports. I don't know if I can get away with saying that, but I have now, so I can't take it back. So yeah, I went over there and I was very lucky to do so.
We will get into that a bit more with Chris shortly, but I must interrupt you because there is some breaking news. Dennett McInnes has officially been announced as the new Rangers manager. So we will give you all the details on that in the next few minutes, but that is it, official. I think people maybe thought it was going to come today, just given the fact that Danny Rule completed his move to RB Salzburg, but Rangers have tweeted out a video that says, "From the stands to the pitch to the dugout, Dennett McInnes, manager of Rangers Football Club." And interesting that, because Danny Rule was head coach, wasn't he? I think was Russell Martin head coach as well. So that will be quite deliberate, really, from Rangers, that Dennett McInnes is now taking up the role. Even the, you know, the wording of it, manager, just gives it a different kind of feel to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I agree, and I'm glad it was announced, otherwise it would have killed the whole vibe of this show. But yeah, I think, in, you know, but then it goes, Derek's far more experienced, so you know, he will, you would imagine, be far more involved in signing players and recruitment and all the aspects of managing a football club, whereas, you know, a younger manager might need someone else to take that burden away from him a little bit, and therefore becomes a more of a head coach. I think still in Scotland we're probably still behind the curve in that it's not as black and white, you know, those two phrases are used kind of interchangeably. But yeah, I think that was probably done purposefully. He is the manager, which basically says to all the fans, this guy's going to control most aspects of the football based stuff at this club, and therefore as a coach going in there, I would imagine Derek wants to have that control, because then he probably feels that he can do a better job that way.
Am I right in saying you're an Aberdeen fan?
That's right.
So you'll have had lots of experience of Derek McInnes. What did you make of him over his time at Pittodrie?
Really liked him up there as well. It was always great to hear that the players really liked playing for him, especially. So there was a great connection there. And we were just saying there, I think he probably just took them as far as he could. He was there for a long time, and longevity is a tough thing in football. So just probably hit a glass ceiling. But yeah, I've got no bad words to say against him in terms of what I thought of him as a manager at Aberdeen.
What about now that he's went to Rangers?
Hate him with a passion. Hope he fails.
Just on what Richard was saying earlier on about Rangers getting this sorted quickly, is one manager out, one manager in on the exact same day. We've seen clubs in the past, Tony, that have maybe mulled over things, but at this point in the season where preparations had already started, Lauren Shanklin was in the door, you'd imagine recruitment lists are already there and made up. How important is that Rangers going into, I think they're maybe back in pre-season training over this weekend, maybe into the start of next week, having the man in place?
I think in the East End of Glasgow, everybody looks at the other side, don't they? The kind of blue and the green. And I think Rangers have handled the managerial appointment with a lot more grace than Celtic. I think they've done it a lot quicker, and I think it's probably been kept under wraps as well, in terms that they'd have knew about McInnes's buyout clause. They would have knew all about it. And when Rowe went, they just went straight for McInnes, got the man they wanted, and it showed in it a kind of bit of intent. Whereas Celtic, it was as if they were dilly-dallying, the board were getting messages for the fans saying don't appoint Keane, and Martin O'Neill was probably the right man, but the way they went about it. And now I think Rangers will probably be in a good place recruitment wise whereas if they left it in a couple of weeks, you wouldn't know who was signing the players. Now they've come out and said manager, he'll manage the team, he'll pick the best team. And I think he'll have a lot of say in the transfers as well.
We're going to speak to Caden and East Kilbride very shortly, but I'll just read some of this Rangers statement that has been posted. Rangers today confirms the appointment of Derek McInnes as our new men's first team manager on a 3-year deal. The club welcomes Derek back to Ibrox as he joins from Heart of Midlothian. He brings with him vast managerial experience, having taken charge of over 800 matches, and an understanding of what it means to win at Rangers after playing here for 5 largely successful seasons. There are some quotes from Derek McInnes. First of all, it says that assistants Alan Archibald, Paul Sheeran and Craig Clark will all join, but Derek McInnes telling the official website that it's a real honour to become manager of Rangers Football Club. It's no secret that I grew up a Rangers supporter and that I'm convinced that this is the right time to take on this prestigious role given the club's structure and leadership from Andrew, the board and Jim. That's probably a pertinent point too, because back in 2017, Derek McInnes turned down the Rangers job, and the feeling was that he maybe wasn't happy with the structure at Rangers at the time. He maybe didn't feel that the right characters or the right people were in running the club. So the fact that he has said that quite early on shows that, you know, this is a project that he feels is right to buy into at this time.
Yeah, you know, because we've said that he's going to be under so much scrutiny, and you want to go in there with as much confidence as possible that you're going to be successful and you're going to do a good job. And you know, the Rangers job, the Celtic job, a lot of the jobs in Scotland are hugely attractive to so many coaches and managers, but at the same time, it has to be right for you. It has to be the right time for you. And I think, you know, obviously they've taken Alan Archibald and Paul Sheeran from Hearts, but they've taken Craig Clark's from Kilmarnock, so there's going to be a change at Kilmarnock there. But he obviously wanted that extra staff member in there because it's going to be difficult to manage the amount of games that Rangers are going to have, and the amount of egos and players that they're going to have. So he's now in a position that, right, you rightly said, he's got the staff there that he wants. He's clearly going into a club that want him with the speed at which they've acted. And all those things probably gives Derek the best opportunity of being successful.
I think that's key, saying that they want him. I remember back in the time when it was Sunderland and Rangers wanted McInnes, and they were dilly-dallying. They didn't go and get him. I know he maybe turned it down, but you've got to understand that at the time it was as if Rangers were doing him a favour employing him. It was as if they weren't sure on him, and I think that's why he got cold feet. I genuinely do. And, and you can't blame him, because he had a good thing at Aberdeen, and going to a place where he knew the structure wasn't right at Rangers at the time, I think it's been proven, And he thinks, well, if I go and get my dream job, no offence to Aberdeen, but and I get sacked after a year, where do I go? Whereas now, Rangers in a place where it's probably the strongest I've seen Rangers since 2010, 2011, in terms of structure, players, everything about them. And I think it's a perfect time for him, and I think it's a perfect time for Rangers to employ him.
Maybe that was the wording back in 2017 that he didn't feel right about. Maybe they were going, look, can you come in as the head coach? Yeah. So this time round, they're like, right, manager, yeah. All right, we get it.
But even taking that extra staff member probably allows him to manage more than coach, mm-hmm. Which is key.
Which he's good at. That's what he is. He's a very good manager. I don't think he's going to be the one that takes every training drill, but he'll make sure the boys feel 10 feet tall, that's for sure.
Well, let's speak to Caden on the line in East Kilbride. Caden, are you happy that it is, you know, officially confirmed now on a 3-year deal?
I actually phoned up as it got announced, so brilliant way to find out. Honestly, I feel like this could actually be a good season for Rangers.
What's given you that belief? Do you feel that Derek McInnes has the right attributes to get the best out of this team?
I do, both as experience at the club and as a manager. Like, as you said, 800 games, played for Rangers for 5 long years. He knows what it's like to actually win at Rangers when they were in their winning ways. So he has to bring that experience to the club. And even with Hearts, he's got the experience of actually doing well. Hearts were mid-table, and now he brought them up to nearly win the title.
It almost had felt inevitable over the years that Derek McInnes would end up as Rangers manager at some point, and he's still only 54, but in that statement, he's had over 800 games as a manager. I can't imagine there are too many managers around that have managed that many games at that age, because he got in so early at St Johnstone. So it's important that, you know, he's had that grounding, and no, he's not been at clubs that have the same level of pressure and expectation as Rangers, but just that those air miles, that experience of managing games should help.
Yeah, and that's what sorry to cut you off, that's what we've been speaking about, isn't it? That's, you know, why he's the best option, because he's far more experienced. He's far more experienced now than he was back in 2017 as well. So it's, I think this will be a very, very good appointment for Rangers.
Caden, what do you think are the main points that he needs to address, whether it's amongst the squad, the playing style?
Just feel like with Hearts, it was watching them play against us, it actually hurts me to kind of say this, but we're absolutely getting smashed out there. Like, our players did not have a single clue. Like, a couple of years back, Hearts was an easy fixture, but Hearts this, like, last season, it was probably one of the games I feared to actually watch.
How would you have described his style of play throughout his time at Aberdeen? Because it is, you know, maybe something that Hearts weren't praised for, playing the best football in the league last season, but it's all about winning games, and he was doing that.
Yeah, that's what I would say. When he was at Aberdeen, you just knew he was a good manager. Maybe there wasn't the most exciting styles at time, but everything was always well structured. Everyone always knew their roles. You were never coming out of a game thinking, oh, that was all over the place, or this is changing, or the formation's been tweaked every other game. He just knows what he's doing. He knows who his players are and how to get the best out of them. And so, yeah, I just, the experience does shine through.
Thank you to Caden. Final chance to get your calls in, and let me tell you about this. In case you missed it earlier, you can take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. You need to try and put the groups in order, predict who's going to make it through to the knockout stages. You can play against your friends and fellow Scotland fans. There are some bonus prizes for runners-up too. Entries close tomorrow, the 18th of June at 5 o'clock. If you want to get your teams, your predictions in place, you can enter now at Clyde1.com. You can also find it via the Clyde One Super Scoreboard social channels.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Richard Foster and Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean. We're also joined by comedian Chris Forbes. You may know him from Scott Squad, where he plays PC Charlie McIntosh, some skits as the other Murray brother you've done with Judy Murray, and plenty. You'll be joining us at Brayhead Arena. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be live from there for the Morocco and Brazil games. You can buy your tickets for that. You're also going to be there with, I think, Mark Nelson doing some comedy. There's going to be some ex-players. How are you feeling generally around Scotland's chances in those games?
I think it's going to be tough, as has been mentioned by most people. I think that getting over that first game and the 3 points is maybe like the tension's dropped, but you kind of hope that we haven't spent up all the kind of goodwill and positive thinking on that first game. I think we're going to have to almost be more like in a Cape Verde performance, like maybe stifling Morocco, who I thought were excellent, as everyone's pointed out. So I'm worryingly optimistic, just because of the feel good nature around the Scotland team and the fans being over there. Everything's so positive. It is going to be a tough game, but I'm hoping we can eke out, even if it's a draw. It's going to be such a positive result.
Yeah, well, Democratic Republic of Congo are 1-1 with Portugal with 83 minutes on the clock. We've seen quite a few shocks happening over this World Cup, so maybe Scotland have one in store for us over the next week or so. Big news today, of course, and big news in the last 15 minutes or so. Derek McInnes officially confirmed as Rangers manager on a 3-year deal. Some coaches joining him: Alan Archibald, Paul Sheeran and Craig Clark will be in there too. So any final thoughts on that, you can give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Derek is a Rangers fan on the line, not Derek McInnes, I should say. Derek, are you happy that the job has gone to a different Derek?
Yes. I'm surprised that he's eventually ended up in the job, but I'm not shocked by it. The one thing that I kind of find difficult to understand was, had he won the league with Hearts, would he be the next Rangers manager?
It's an interesting point Derek makes, because everyone talks about the fact that they feel Hearts are going to be in this upwards trajectory, the backing of Tony Bloom and Jamestown. We've seen what it's done for the likes of Brighton and Union Saint-Gilloise. If Hearts had won the league, does it make Derek McInnes' standing different?
I don't think so.
No.
I think if this opportunity came up, I think he still goes. Yeah. Because what more then could he have done with Hearts? You know, you could argue, what more even now? Are Hearts going to come back stronger? Are they going to be viable title contenders next season or in the coming season? We don't know. So you could almost say at the moment he's done as much as he's going to do. You spoke about him reaching the ceiling with Aberdeen. Did he reach the ceiling with Hearts? I think the opportunity to manage one of the two biggest clubs in Scotland, I don't think he could have turned that down at this point.
Do you think he would have stayed at Tynecastle, Derek?
I think that, like you said, they were going to be in an upward trajectory. If you look at all of Tony Bloom's other associations, they don't just get a footing and then stop. They progress and then they move on, and then it's exponential at that point.
Yeah, so I suppose there's maybe the kind of historic aspect to it. Rangers, you know, not downplaying Hearts at all, but we know what it's like in the hierarchy of Scottish football. Celtic and Rangers are at the top. Rangers historically are a bigger club. Are they always going to have that bigger pulling power over the rest of the teams in the country, no matter what Hearts do, really?
The only way Hearts will become on kind of par with Rangers in terms of spending power is if they continue doing all this, the analytics stuff, where they can build and make fortunes and kind of get a buzz about. Edinburgh's massive, we know that, but historically Celtic and Rangers are big teams. Hearts have got potential. They might not reach Celtic and Rangers level, but if they keep buying players for £1 million, selling them for 5-6, they'll make a lot of money. And that's what Tony Bloom's done. He's improved Union Saint-Gilloise and he's improved Brighton. Now, at the moment, there's no world where McInnes would have turned down Rangers, even if he won the league with 10 points or whatever it was the case. I just think that it was a match made in heaven, and I think that McInnes was always going to go. I think everybody knew that he was probably destined for the Rangers job at one point. Now, that's no slight on Hearts. Hearts now want a different type of manager. That's the way Jamestown works. McInnes probably wouldn't be the typical Jamestown manager halfway through the project, but at the start of it, he helped get them up and running. He helped get the club going in a new direction. But I think they probably need now more of a head coach to bring players, play all the Jamestown players and develop them and make money. That is the model, and I think it works well for both parties, to be honest.
That is an interesting side point, Chris, that, you know, what does that mean now going forward for Hearts? They would have been quite settled. It was a squad that Derek McInnes clearly liked and clearly got on well with, and now what direction are they going to take?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, for want of a better term, it does feel like a bit of a kick in the stones when everyone was talking about Hearts, you know, progressing and building up, and they were so close. And then at the end of it all, it's, oh well, we'll take the manager and we'll take your top goal scorer. So it feels like it punctures a little bit of that balloon that was just getting bigger. So I've no doubt they'll be replaced with top quality, with what's just been discussed. The way they're going to recruit is going to be brilliant, but it's a little bit of a slap in the face of everyone saying, oh, Hearts are coming up. If then one of the two big clubs, as you say, can come in and be like, well, we'll just take the manager and your top goal scorer.
But as an Aberdeen fan, do you really care?
No.
I suppose one of the things that's almost a guarantee with Tony Bloom is that no matter what happens this summer, if they lose their manager, they lose their captain and top goal scorer, the ambitions are going to be the same. They're still going to operate in the same way. They're still going to meticulously try and work to build the club. So I don't think Tony Bloom will be sitting there panicking about anything that's happened, because he seems just very assured in the way that he goes about his business.
Absolutely. And to be fair, they were just at the start with McInnes, weren't they? You know, so he still had players there that they might not have signed. Now, Shankland, is, of course, you sign Shankland because of the goals he scores. And I would imagine in terms of the Jamestown analytics, he will score very, very highly in terms of the metrics they use there to measure players. But you'll probably start to see, again, I think, Tony, you said it, more of a head coach. You asked earlier on, what's Dennett McInnes is pragmatic. So I think he probably does fit the initial, let's get this off the ground, let's get it running. Who do we need? We need someone who understands the game and, you know, knows the intricacies of building a team and a squad. But now, as you say, can you get someone like a Jens Bertolascu who comes in and starts to maybe add a little bit more in terms of the playing style, which then, because if you're Jamestown Analytics and you've had a season where you've had Elijah Just and you've Tuan Damaswinise signed for peanuts, going to sell him for a lot of money, that is, as Tony said, that is their model. So do you have a manager now who, because you've now got that grounding and you've got that base built by Dennett McInnes and Tony Bloom, do you then go in for a manager who is a bit more has a bit more flair in terms of the way he plays? We don't know, but it's going to be a difficult job for whoever comes in. But again, it would be a fantastic opportunity for the next manager, Hearts.
Because I think a lot of people then look at it, and I'd seen this train of thought last season, that, you know, Dennett McInnes, he's done well at Hearts, but he's maybe not a Jamestown type of manager, and people are using Brighton as the example. But if you look through Union San Gilwa's managers, I think pretty much all of them in the time that Tony Bloom and Jamestown have been in there, they've all had links to Belgian football.
Yeah,
so it's not
the first two that didn't, and then mm-hmm. they went back and kind of corrected that.
So it's not as maybe as simple as people think, that they're going to go to the continent and get someone with a fancy name. That there might be someone in Scotland that they think is a good fit and could come in, and, you know, maybe has a head start in the fact that they know the league and they know how things work.
The problem
here
is that now there's not really, other than John McGlynn, there's not really many Scottish managers that, off the top of my head, that would kind of fit that mould of coaching. And
but I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think you're looking at a manager,
could be the option, yeah.
You know, plays an attractive style of football.
Yeah.
Is very, very efficient in terms of getting the best out of players for with all respect to Falkirk, little money.
Yeah.
You know, so he could be a
has
real
a big focus
option.
On youth as well, big as we've seen. We saw Barney Stewart left for a club record fee today. Went to West Brom for about 1.3 million. I mean, that is, we've not had time to talk about it. That's an incredible story in itself. 18 months ago, he was playing for Heriot Watt University, and now he's moving for a seven-figure sum.
Celtic and Rangers could easily have paid that 1.3 million and tried to develop him and for me, that's where they should be looking. I think Hearts were looking at him as well, but West Brom have obviously came and made it clear that he would be a big part of it. But no, good luck to him. I think he's a really good player and I think he deserves his move.
Well, thank you to Derek on the line. Thank you very much to Richard Foster, Tony Watt and to Chris Forbes, who we'll be seeing at the Brayhead Arena for those games against Morocco and Brazil. Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live there on Friday and next Wednesday, but we'll be back in this studio from 6 until 8 tomorrow. It is match day minus 1, the day before Scotland against Morocco, and we'll be hearing from those involved in the game. We'll be going live to Boston to speak to Gabriel, and we'll be getting more of your calls, whether it is domestic football, the big stories breaking today, or all the build-up, the final chance to get your thoughts on team news ahead of that Scotland game against Morocco. But thank you tonight for tuning in, getting involved on the phones, watching on the live stream as well. And up next, it's Callum Gallagher.